Brethren, it is good to be in Texas today, so hello to everyone. Before I start the sermon today, I want to remind everyone that this is a holy day. This is a high day. And if everyone will just quickly turn to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, we'll quickly go through that. There is some instructions that God gives us about this day. And it says, three seasons a year we are to appear before our God in the place that He chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, which is this day, Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and we are not to appear before the Lord empty-handed. So we are to give as we are able, according to the blessings that the Eternal God has given to each one of us. So everyone can take care of that in their area, ever how it's handled in their area. And so now we will begin with the sermon today. The President of the United States has just come off of a tour where he was visiting some of the world leaders. And the message to them was partly about the terrorists that were interrupting the peace of this world. They were interrupting the way for man to live in peace in their way of life, that they want to live their life today. This world is oblivious to the way that peace will come to this earth. They have no knowledge of this day that we are here observing, the true meaning, the day of Pentecost. They have no knowledge of this day and its true meaning. There are a few around the world in certain areas that do celebrate a day of Pentecost, but they have no idea of the true meaning of this day and what it represents. It is just a holiday for family and friends to get together, and they are oblivious to this day. And this day is much about peace that is coming to this earth. Peace is coming to this earth, but it's not in the form that man thinks it will come about. Man still thinks that he can bring about peace. We know better. We know that man cannot bring peace to mankind. And there is only one way that peace can come to this earth, and it is only through a strong hand from someplace. And that strong hand will take charge of man's destiny. The great God of this universe has a plan for mankind. And this day of Pentecost is much about the first phase of God's plan. We heard about that yesterday in the sermon. And it is about the first phase of God's plan to bring peace to this earth. And there is a way that God is working today that the world is oblivious to. God said that He would send two at the end of an age to usher in God's kingdom upon this earth. God says in the book of Revelation 11, if you just want to note it, all of us in God's church know what it says in Revelation 11, that God would send two at the end of this age. And God will send two individuals, and He has sent two individuals at this end time. And it's first and foremost for His church, the Church of God, PKG, that is preparing for God's kingdom to come to this earth. And that is the way that God is working today, through one of those two that is an apostle, the spokesman, and the world is oblivious to this very thing. God is setting things in order in His church, and we are preparing for His Son to come back to this earth and set up God's kingdom upon this earth. And it is much about peace. Peace that has so eluded mankind. And it is a time when Jesus Christ will come and He will establish God's government upon this earth. And it will begin to bring about peace to mankind. A just government will be here that will teach man how to attain real peace. God will teach man of a way that will lead to peace. Peace for an eternity. That's what God said that He would bring. Everlasting peace without suffering, without pain, without any more tears or sorrow. Seems like an impossible task when we think about it in this human mind. But that's what God wrote about in His book. The book that the world is really oblivious about what this book really says. But this is what God says that He will offer to those that want real peace. He will offer real life. And God is preparing His church for the beginning of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And that is what this day is about. It is about the day that God will send His Son, and He will set His feet upon the Mount of Olives on this day, the day of Pentecost. And we, the church of God, that is preparing for the kingdom of God to come to this earth, and the whole world is on the doorsteps of change. And that will be the subject today, on the doorsteps of change. Those of us in the church of God, the church that is preparing for God's Son to return to this earth, is where the kind of change that will take place for man has been taught. And it has been taught through His apostle upon this earth. One of the two that God said He would send just before the millennium would begin. A 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. Mankind will begin to be taught about the change that will take place in their lives. And it is first and foremost about their relationship with the great God of this universe. And they will be taught how they are to worship the Creator of the entire universe, and the Creator of man, and the Creator of His family, Elohim, which the world is oblivious to, that it is even taking place. Those in the church of God are the ones that God has called to be a part of this change that will take place for mankind. We have been taught for so many years about the changes that will take place for man. Like I said, mankind is oblivious to how God worked with those of old, like Noah, like Abraham, like Daniel. And now mankind is oblivious to what is taking place upon this earth. Mankind is without the true knowledge of how God has worked in His church since AD 31, the true church of God. God's true church, and it is only those that God has called and have been impregnated with God's Holy Spirit that have the ability to understand the change that is about to take place for man. God tells us in His book what it takes for change to take place for man. We understand that at the return of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that God will begin to pour out His Spirit upon mankind. So man can then begin to understand the changes that will take place. And we are on the doorsteps of this change, brethren, taking place. And it's much about this day that tells us much about God's plan. This is the day that Jesus Christ will set His foot upon the Mount of Olives. So let's begin today in the book of Leviticus. And let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, as we know, is where God had it written about this day that we are observing, the day of Pentecost, which the world is oblivious to its true meaning. But the church of God is not. They have understanding of what this day pictures. And God paints you and me a picture of His plan. And it is through the holy days that He does it. This day is what is called a high day. This day is what is called a holy day. So let's see what God inspired to be written about this day. Leviticus 23 and verse 10. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the beginning, better said, of your harvest to the priest. He shall weigh the sheep before the Eternal to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Eternal. So the Church of God understands this is speaking about Jesus Christ. This wave offering paints us a picture. And down in verse 15, we find about this day. And it's also called the Feast of Weeks. And it says, you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. Talking about the weekly Sabbath. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, the sheaf that pictures Jesus Christ. We understand this is about when he will begin his return to set up God's kingdom upon this earth. And let's notice the rest of what is said. Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So we are told to count. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Eternal. And you shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah, and they shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. So this paints us a picture of what we are in God's plan. We understand what this is speaking about. God has given you and me understanding. And it is about those that will be resurrected at the beginning of the return of Jesus Christ. God tells us who they are. The rest of the scripture tells us they are the first fruits to the Eternal. The ones who will be resurrected, the 144,000, is what it is speaking about. And they will set foot upon this earth on this day with Jesus Christ upon the Mount of Olives. We understand that God, the great God of this universe, is creating his family. And we just read about how it will be done, that first phase of God's plan for his creation. And that plan will begin to be understood when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. We can see everything that God has created physically. The church understands what God is creating spiritually, his family. And we, the church, can see that it is through God's wisdom that it is being done. We understand that God is wisdom. And we understand that God gives much understanding to those that he has called. And he has a lot written in the book of Proverbs. And he tells us much about himself in the book of Proverbs. The world knows absolutely nothing about the real God. They know absolutely nothing about the real Jesus Christ. So let's begin today and let's see what God says about who he is and what he is building. We know that he is building his spiritual house. So let's begin by turning to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And this is where it gives some understanding of who God is. The very God that this world is oblivious to. They know nothing of the real God. But you and me, the Church of God, we know that the real God, the great God of this universe, is creating his family, Elohim. Man can see everything that God has created physically. Man has that Hubble telescope that can see so much of God's creation. All those planets and all those stars that are there. But man is oblivious to why they are there. The Church of God understands what God is creating, his family, Elohim. And we, the church, understand that it is through God's wisdom that this creation is being built. We, those in God's church, understand that the great God of this universe is wisdom. And he is the source of all wisdom for you and me. And it gives us much understanding of who he is in his book. And he tells us much about himself. So let's start in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3. God's church is being prepared for what is ahead. Therefore, our name, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. God tells us of a way that it will be done. God tells us much about Himself and what He is building spiritually. He is building His spiritual family, which the world knows nothing about at this time. God instructs you and me on a way that it is being done through the Proverbs. And in Proverbs 24 and verse 3, God tells us, through wisdom, a house is built. We know that God is wisdom. And we know that He is building His house, a spiritual house to dwell in. And He is telling us how it will be built. And He says that through wisdom, His house will be built, His spiritual house. So much change will be brought about when God's spiritual house is manifested to this world, to mankind. And we are on the doorsteps of this change for man. On the day of Pentecost, when Jesus Christ returns, it's what this day pictures, that return. And that is the day that God will send His Son back to this earth. Much change will then begin to come to man. Man will then begin to be taught who the true God is and who the real Jesus Christ is. On the day of Pentecost, the first phase of God's spiritual creation will be manifested upon the Mount of Olives to mankind. And the kingdoms of this earth will now be no more. Only one kingdom will be here upon this earth, the kingdom of God. And now a just government will be here. Mankind will have a new government. One government upon the face of this earth. Prior to Jesus Christ setting His feet upon the Mount of Olives, this world will be subjected to the plagues of God for 50 days, so that man will be receptive to what is about to take place, the change that is coming to man. So now some of mankind will now have ears to listen. God will now have some of man's attention. Some will begin to listen. God says how it will be established. We as the Church of God understand that God will resurrect 144,000 to be in His government. And they will be given much understanding. And it's pictured by those two wave loaves that we just read about in Leviticus. God says that those that He has called, those that will be in His government, will be given wisdom and understanding. Last part of verse 3. And by or through understanding, it is established. And that is very true. God has given those that He has called understanding. And this understanding comes from the great God of this universe, the one who has built everything. All the physical things that we can see that are here, everything that we can see through that Hubble telescope. And He is building His house that He will inhabit for an eternity. And the day of Pentecost paints us a picture of the first phase of His plan for His family that He is building. He is building His spiritual house to dwell in. That is what God is building. And here in the Proverbs, God tells us much about how His house will be built. Verse 4. Through knowledge, the rooms are filled. The rooms of God's house will be filled with knowledge. The rooms of the house that the great God will inhabit. And God has given His church knowledge through His apostle, so that the rooms of God's house can be filled with knowledge for those minds that have been prepared. The minds, the rooms of God's house of those that He is working with. And they will have knowledge that comes from the great God. And that in itself gives much wisdom. The wisdom that comes from God. The one that is building His place of habitation, His spiritual house. And the last part tells us what this knowledge is worth. The value of what God is offering to you at this time. The value of what God is building. The builder of the house. And he calls what they are filled with, and he says they are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Our minds at this time cannot comprehend what that means for you and me. We have a glimpse, but we have no idea of what this value that God is offering you at this time is really worth. But God gives us a glimpse, and he says that they are precious and pleasant riches. That's what God says they are. Verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases in strength. So what God is saying, when you understand God's plan, it gives you strength. That knowledge gives strength. And God's wisdom, to those that he has opened their minds, we understand that it gives us strength. And that's the knowledge that God gives to you and me. And he gives that strength through that knowledge of his plan. And all of us in God's church have experienced this, that strength that comes from God. Much destruction is ahead for man because we have not reached this day of Pentecost that we are discussing here today, the one that Christ returns to on this day. Much destruction is ahead for mankind. After that destruction, much change will come to man. So when you understand what is being said, and when you understand what the church of God is, that it is the place where God is building his spiritual house to dwell in, we begin to understand that before the day of Pentecost takes place, man would destroy every living thing upon the face of this earth if this day did not take place, if this day was not in God's plan. If God did not send his son to stop the genocide, that's what would happen. And many will want to know when this destruction starts. They will begin to want answers. They will want to understand who the true God is and who the real Jesus Christ is and what is taking place upon this earth. The real Christ that the world does not know. They are oblivious to who he really is. They do not know the real story of Jesus Christ and the message that he brought to this earth. When you understand what is being said and understand what the church of God is, that it is the place that God is building his spiritual house to dwell in, then we begin to understand that the great God of this universe is the source of all wisdom. It's the only place that you can acquire wisdom, brethren. And he gives us a glimpse of who he is, those of us in his church. His wisdom is what he has given to those that he has called now. Understanding. That's what he's given. And that is coming to the church of God through his apostle. One of the two that God said that he would send at the end of this age. And he is getting his church ready for the return of his son to this earth. The head of God's church. Therefore our name. The church of God that is preparing for the kingdom of God to come to this earth. On the day just before Pentecost, that Sabbath day, at the going down of the sun, at the end of that day, is when Jesus Christ will begin to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. At the going down of the sun, on that Sabbath day, is when Pentecost begins. And there will be some awesome sights in the sky for 50 days prior to God's Son setting his feet upon the Mount of Olives. With 144,000, those two wave loaves that we just read about. The wave loaves that paints you and me a picture of who they are. There has been a mighty war that has been fought for a long, long time. There is a being that this world really does not know or understand. They make fun. They paint him as a little red devil running around in a red suit with a pitchfork. God calls him Satan. And what we understand about Satan and the demons is that Satan drew a third of the angels and they became demons. And they have been fighting against the great God of this universe ever since they rebelled. But this war will come to an end. For those that will be a part of Jesus Christ's return, the 144,000, their war in this flesh will now be over. And now life will begin for them in a new body, a spiritual body. Those that have been called by God and have remained faithful, those that are called the first fruits by the two loaves that we just read about in Leviticus 23. Verse 6 tells us how we should fight our war while we are in this flesh. For by or through wise counsel, you will wage your own war. We understand that all of us have to do this. God sent His apostle to give His church wise counsel as this age comes to a close. But the world at this time is oblivious to that very fact. But that is about to change for man. God says that through wise counsel, we will wage our own war. And each of us has to do that very thing. We are in a war, a spiritual war. And this world is oblivious to the very war that you and me are fighting. They have no idea that it is going on. So it's wise if we understand what this battle is about. The battle is for your mind at this time. That is what is actually taking place. It's about the mind. It's not about this flesh. God can recreate this flesh. He's resurrected Lazarus from the dead. We know about that account. So God can do a lot with this flesh. And He tells us that He will do so in a resurrection, back to life. So the battle is not about the flesh and blood, it's about the mind, the spiritual creation that God is creating. And it's wise if we listen to God about how we are to fight this war that we are in while we are in this flesh. If we listen to God, God says that He will listen to us. Let's notice verse 10. God tells us that if we faint in the day of adversity, in other words, if we let down, and if we do, God says that our strength is small. And I can tell you, if this was the day just before Jesus Christ was to set His feet upon the Mount of Olives, that would be a time of adversity, brother, for man. There will never be another time like this for man. Especially those 50 days before He sets His feet upon the Mount of Olives. Man will learn what adversity is. Man will learn what fear is. God's Son is about to take over all the governments of this earth, brethren. All of them. In the spirit world, Satan's world. And this world is oblivious to this very thing. The spirit world understands that their day is coming to an end. But man is oblivious to what is going on. And it will not go down without adversity. And it will not go down with fear. Real fear, brethren. Real fear will be here among the inhabitants of this earth as this day of Pentecost comes to fruition. Fear that I don't think I can describe. God says in His book that the bowels of man will be loosed. I've never had that kind of fear. But God says it's here, where it will take place. that is the kind of fear that will be here for mankind. So that is an awesome fear to have. We know that we know what God says about this time, that mankind will be in travail and fear, real fear. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8, and let's look at verse 6. Chapter 8 and verse 6. And God says, through what was written, He says, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things." So if we listen to God and His instructions, wisdom and understanding will come to you and me. God said He would tell us about excellent things and right things. So if we listen, God will listen to us, those that have been called by God. Verse 7, "For my mouth will speak truth." So if we listen, God will give us knowledge and truth, His truths. And we have been given 57 truths. That's what you and me have been given at this end time. And now He is leading us into a new age. God says that wickedness is an abomination to His lips. All the words of His mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. So once God calls us, we begin to find this knowledge that comes from the great God of this universe. And the truth becomes so plain to those that God has opened their minds to this knowledge that comes from God, the knowledge of God's truth. And it's just as Mr. Armstrong used to say, it is the plain truth. And it is so simple once God gives you understanding. And it becomes plain to you and me, those in God's church. But not so to this world, brethren. The world is oblivious to this plan. They have no idea of what is coming to this earth. God says to receive His instruction and not silver, because that silver is about to be thrown into the streets, thrown to the ground. And it will be worthless at this time that is coming upon mankind. We know the scriptures about when the gold will be cast into the streets. Man is oblivious to this. Some may have read through these words, but they do not believe that will actually take place, that man would cast their gold into the streets, because it is useless. So this is telling us that man's focus will change, and what man values will change. The gold, the silver, the abundance of the things that he can heap to himself, they will not be important at this time that God is telling us about. God says to receive His instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. And at this time, the return of God's Son, I don't think gold would be the focus of your mind at that time. And I can assure you that for 50 days before Jesus Christ sets His foot upon the Mount of Olives, during those plagues that will be poured out, gold will not be on anyone's mind. Let's look at verse 11. God says wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So here God is telling us about the value of wisdom that comes from Him, the value of what He is offering you at this time. And it is more valuable than anything upon the face of this earth, brethren. And at the time that Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, you will then begin to understand just how valuable what God has offered you really is. God says that there is nothing upon this earth upon the face of this earth that you can compare to what he has offered you at this time. Absolutely nothing. And I hope everyone here comprehends just a bit of understanding of what God has offered you at this time, those in God's church. God tells us about treasure in his book that we've talked about before. And he describes it as treasure in a field that one could have, that one could find. And talks about a pearl of great price that one could have. And when those trumpet blasts begin to sound, the fear that will be there. Man will want to know what is taking place. And when the destruction begins, you will begin to understand what you have been given and the true value of what God has offered you and given to you, true understanding. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So we can see that God is wisdom and all understanding comes from him. And when we receive his instructions, we then have access to understanding that comes from him. And we now have the knowledge of his ways and the way to conduct ourselves during our stay upon this earth in this flesh. We are to live the way that God has instructed us to live. And now change is coming to all of mankind about the way that they are to live life, the way that will bring about peace. And this gives us strength, this understanding that has been given to you and me. Verse 17, God says that he loves those who love him, and those who seek him diligently will find him. And once God opens the mind, one can find God. That is what God will do for man when he sends Jesus Christ back to this earth. He will pour out his Holy Spirit upon mankind. So let's notice what he said. We read about those riches that one could have earlier, and God says that riches and honor are with him. That's where they are. God says that is where one can find true riches, enduring riches, and righteousness that will last for an eternity, brethren. Riches and righteousness that will not pass away. They will endure for an eternity. And he says in verse 19, his fruit is better than gold, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver, that I may cause those who love me, let's notice, to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And in verse 22 and on, we cannot comprehend what is written because we cannot comprehend a God that has always existed, a God that is wisdom, a God that all understanding comes from. Everything, brethren, man is oblivious to this very thing. But this is the day that it will begin to be taught, who the great God of this universe really is. And man will not be oblivious anymore. Verse 22. The Eternal possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Speaking about wisdom. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. So God is telling us much about himself. God is telling us he is wisdom and that he has always existed, and we cannot comprehend such a thing. And he goes on, he tells us, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no mountains, and when he prepared the heavens, and when he assigned to the sea to say no more. You can come so far and no more. God tells us that he created those things. And he controlled those very things. Verse 32, God tells us and gives us instructions. And he says, now therefore, listen to me, my children. So he's talking to you and me, his children. those that he has begotten. That is who he is speaking to. And he says, "For blessed are those who keep my ways." That is the church of God at this time. But change is coming to man. To be taught about what you and me already know. To be taught about how to worship the great God of this universe. True worship. God says to hear instruction and be wise. So God is telling us to listen and hear His instructions. And that is how we become wise. So where does God's instructions come from today? There is a way that God works. And it comes from where God is working. And the world is oblivious to this at this time, about how God is working today. But that is coming to an end. We know how God works today. We know about God the Father. We know the order. It's God the Father, then Jesus Christ, and then it's God's apostle upon this earth. That is just the way it is. And some will have problems with that very thing. But change will take place. And they will come to see how God is working in His church. He is working through His apostle at this time. And that is how instructions come to you and me from the great God of this universe. God's children. That's who we are. And God says, let's notice the rest. And do not disdain it. That's what God says. I would have fear to go against this very thing. And God says, do not disdain it. But some have had no fear. God says in verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of his doors. For whoever finds me, let's notice, finds life, real life, with peace. No more suffering, no more pain, no more crying. And at the going down of the sun, the day of Pentecost when Jesus Christ sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and the 144,000 touch down with him, the world will now begin to change. And we are on the doorsteps of this change taking place. The world is oblivious to this very thing. They have no idea what Pentecost is about. God's laws will now be the laws of the land. Man will now have just laws to guide him. God's Spirit will now be available to those upon this earth. Now real change can take place in man's lives. And those that live into the millennium, now real change can take place in their lives. The ones who accept what will be offered to them. Verse 36. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, his own life. And he's talking to the church of God. The ones that have God's Spirit. Because when sin enters our lives, it cuts us off from God. Cuts us off from the one who is offering eternal life in the God family. The one that is offering for you to become in his family, Elohim. Let's notice what else is written. Those who hate me love death. So this is a very profound statement. To make the statement this way, love death. So what does this really mean, love death? The ones that hate me love death. We understand that there will be many that will not want what God is offering. To live the way of peace. So there will be a lake of fire at the end of this age for those that hate God. And there will be many who will not want what God is offering. So God will be merciful. It will be a merciful thing for them to be as if they never existed. So that is how God will handle those that hate him. poof, they will be gone. And it's a merciful thing to do it swiftly. There's no such thing as a burning forever in a lake of fire. There is no hell like the Catholic and Protestants teach. God says, poof, they will be gone. Burn up in an instant, and it will be as if they never existed. There is no burning hell where mankind will be tormented forever and ever. It will be done mercifully. It will be done swiftly. They will be gone, poof, never to have life again. So God says that we are to listen to Him. And if we do so, we will not become weak. We become weak when we let down, those of us in God's church. And we know that this can happen. If we've seen it happen in God's own church. Some that have walked side by side with you and me. God tells us that we are not to become weak. But we know that some will. And it will go on to the very end. God tells us to repent and be zealous for this way of life. And it's what we are to do. When we sin, we are to repent quickly. So that's what God instructs you and me to do. The way of life that is about to be taught for 1,000 plus 100 years to man, that's what you have the knowledge of. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. God tells us so much in the Psalms that He inspired David to write. And we know that God said that David was a man after His own heart. And David knew and understand that God had made some awesome promises to man. And David knew that God would keep those promises. David understood that every good thing would come his way in God's time. David understood that there would be a resurrection back to life. We understand that the same is true for each of us. God has called each of us to a calling that we cannot comprehend fully at this time. God tells you and me that it's like looking through a dark glass of what He has offered us, of what we can actually see of His plan for man. Psalms 37 in verse 1, God tells us, "Do not fret because of evildoers." And the President of the United States and some of the leaders of the other nations of this world have just met. And the message of the President called the terrorists evildoers. And there have always been evildoers ever since before man. We know there are many evildoers that have lived down through time. We know that there are now many living in Satan's world. That's what it is. It's not God's world. It's Satan's world. This day is about God's world, the day of Pentecost. We know about the evildoers that have lived and are now living in Satan's world, that want to kill. They want to maim. They want to hurt. They want to destroy. So they have the mind of their father, Satan the devil. So when this talks about evildoers and we look at it in that context, we understand that their time is coming to an end. We understand that there is another type of evildoer that God tells us about. Those that have turned against what God has offered them. There were some that have turned against God. And they no longer believe that God is working in this church, the one that has been worked with by and through God. So this is the evildoers that God speaks about. And let's notice what God says about those that have become evildoers. And that's what they are. That's what God says, evildoers. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. So This is in reference to those that are in sin. And let's notice what is said about them in the next verse. God says they will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So there are two types of evildoers, those in the world and those that have turned against what God has offered them. God tells us what to do in verse 3, and he says, trust in the eternal, listen to God, and trust the one who is building his house. That's who you and me are to listen to. To trust and listen to God's instructions and to do good. And the only good that we can do is live the way that God says we are to live while we are in that flesh. That's about it. It's about the only good that you and me can do. God says dwell in the land. And let's notice. And feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the eternal, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And our desires above everything else is to be in the God family, to have what God is offering, eternal life in the God family. God says that he will give that desire to us. Life for eternity, without pain, without suffering, without sorrow. And we cannot comprehend such a thing at this time. And it's like I've said so many times, our minds will not comprehend what God has in store for his people. I hope you understand just a bit of what God has offered you. And at the going down of the sun, when the day of Pentecost of Jesus Christ return, it will be offered to all of man. Those riches, those treasures that we just read about, that God tells us about in his book. Verse 5, God had David write about what we are to do, and he said, commit our ways to the eternal. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So it will come to pass, and the kingdom of God will be here upon this earth and set up the government of God. God said that he would bring it to pass. And we can look around at the condition of this world and tell, even without this book, that this world cannot last very long. The United States is sending missiles up to destroy another missile. That's the time that you and me find ourselves in. And we still lay down at night and go to sleep without much fear. But we live when man can push a button, and our lives will change forever. And if God did not intervene, mankind would destroy everything. There would be no flesh left alive if God did not have this plan. If God did not have this plan of Pentecost to stop the genocide, that's what would take place. God tells us that he will bring justice and a just government to man. Verse 6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. A just government is coming, brethren, to bring true justice. God gives us instructions and he says, rest in the eternal and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And there are many in Satan's world, brethren. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers will be cut off. We understand God's time. We know his plan. But the world is oblivious about this day of Pentecost. Satan will be restrained and put in his prison for 1,000 years. And he will not be able to influence man for 1,000 years. God says for evildoers, there is a lake of fire. And evildoers will be in that lake of fire. God says that will come to pass. Evildoers will be no more. And we can see that it will not be long before a just government will be here. And man will begin to learn the way to peace. And the ones that desire what God is offering will learn that way. But those who wait on the eternal, let's notice, what God said would happen, they will inherit the earth. Yet a little while, God's time. We know about that lake of fire, and the wicked will be no more. But the meek will inherit the earth and will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. God's time, and it's in our future. Pentecost 2019. And it's not far away when peace will begin for man. The wicked plots against the just, and we know they are there that hate God's church and gnashes at him with his teeth. Some that were among us have become pretty nasty toward God's church. Let's notice what God has to say about those that do such a thing. The eternal laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those, let's notice, who are of upright conduct. And we are the only ones upon the face of this earth that are striving to do that very thing. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Eternal upholds the righteous. The Eternal knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance will be forever. They will have eternal life. It's what God says, with peace forever. And they will have all these riches that God tells us about in his book. And let's notice verse 19. They will not be ashamed in the evil time. And the times that we living in are evil. And that is being manifested to you and me. And God has given us understanding of Satan's world and the evil that is in his world. God says in the days of famine that we would be satisfied. And there is a famine of the truth at this time. But that is coming to an end. The truth is being taught now to those that God has called. But the truth will begin to be taught in the world in just a short while. And it will be taught for 1,100 years. And man will begin to learn the truth. And they will learn the way that they should live their lives. The way that God says that you and me are to live now. Those of us that have been called have been like a well-watered garden in the middle of a desert. This whole world is like a desert when it comes to God's truth. It should bring you to your knees to understand what you have been offered. What God has called you to be a part of. What God has offered you. To be a part of his family. And it will be offered to all that will want to live God's way of life. So change is coming to man. And we are on the doorsteps of those changes taking place. God tells us that whoever does not take up his stake and follow him is not worthy. Whoever does not enter the war, the spiritual war that we find ourselves in. And sometimes it's hard when family is involved and we want to explain to them what is taking place and what is about to come upon man. They do not have ears to hear at this time, and they do not want to hear anything that you have to say about God because it's not their time. But that's about to change in the near future. Their time is coming. Change is coming, and we are on the doorsteps of those changes taking place, brethren, when their minds will be opened. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Brethren, the reality is here before you and me of where we are in God's plan. When we turn on the TV and we see the filth, we see the degradation that is there, the way that man is living, the way that man wants to live, we can understand what it does to the mind. We have become Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what we have become. Hopefully many will repent through those plagues that will take place. Those plagues that will be poured out upon man. Hopefully some will live into a new age. But even if not, the world that they will be resurrected into will be so much better. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 6, let's see what Isaiah had to say. We've had sermons about rebellions and how they have taken place down through time. Over and over, we have seen how man has rebelled. And we can see what was written so that we could understand that man needs more. Mankind needs God. Man cannot rule himself. And God has given to you and me that understanding about man and his mind. The mind of man needs God's help through his Holy Spirit. And it's how that understanding is given to you and me. So God had this written about man. Verse 6. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. Let's notice, because they are filled with eastern ways. So this is speaking about religious practices. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. They are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. So this is a good description of what you and me live in, our world, our time upon this earth. America has been one of the most richest nations upon the face of this earth. And before the time of their punishment comes, we can see that there is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses and no end to their chariots. So in modern words today, when we go out here in Spaghetti Junction in Dallas and we see all those modern day chariots, and your GP cannot even keep up with the spaghetti turns that they have, we live in modern times. So in modern words, when we look at what God had written in his book, when you get on this interstate, there is no end to those chariots. And it says their land is full of idols. So we've looked at this before in sermons. And we understand that people will worship just about anything. They worship the work of their own hands is what God had written, that their own fingers have made. And this becomes their God, the work of their hands. Their automobiles, those shiny things that you see them washing and shining and polishing. And the cell phones that they cannot put down. Even in the grocery lines. The cashier cannot speak to them unless they interrupt the conversations. And this becomes their gods. And it's what most people live for today in Satan's world, is the abundance of the things that they can possess. All the modern things that man has made, the cell phones, the computers, the iPads, the automobiles, that's their god. The ball games, the sports that man is so occupied with, that's where their mind is. That's their focus. And it becomes what possesses the mind. And it becomes their God. God tells us that man is going to be humbled, that their focus will change. God says that man will become focused on what is important in life. And then man will have to make a decision whether to live God's way or not. God says, now the punishment is the result of the mistake. Let's notice the sins and the errors that we have just been reading about. God says that man will be humbled and that men will be brought low. And in verse 6, we understand it's primarily talking about Jacob and his descendants, but we know it's not just Jacob. We understand how God uses names. We know that all of mankind will be humbled. So man will be humbled. Verse 9. Men will be brought low and forgive them not. Verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust, let's notice, from before the terror of the eternal and from the glory of his majesty. The haughty looks of man will be brought low. And let's notice, the pride of men will be humbled. Pride that so affects mankind. Pride that brings about so much sorrow. God says that he will deal with man's pride. And it will come to pass. It will take place. Mankind will be subjected to those plagues for 50 days. Which those 50 days end in this day, the day of Pentecost. The day that God's Son, Jesus Christ, sets his foot upon the Mount of Olives. With the first fruits, the two wave loaves that we just read about in Leviticus 23. And let's notice what is said. The eternal alone will be exalted in that day. So only God is going to be exalted. And the day that he is talking about is one that there are many prophecies about that you and me have heard about for so many years. For the eternal of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty and against all that is lifted up and high, against all the people, especially the ones filled with pride. In verse 17, the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the pride of men will be brought low. So God tells us so much about mankind and the pride that affects the human race. And God says that he will deal with that pride. And he says that he is the only one that will be exalted in that day. God alone, not man. And the idols will utterly pass away. So there is coming a time when man's focus will change. And man's mind will not be on those idols anymore. So change is coming, and we are on the doorsteps of that change taking place. God tells us about a time when fear will be the focus of the mind of man. Some will begin to fear to disobey the great God of this universe and his Son. God tells us about a time that this will take place. And that is a good fear. Not a fear is the type of being afraid of God, but fear to disobey because of what it does to the human life. So, brethren, God, man has not experienced nothing in comparison to what is about to take place. More change is coming, and God will begin to set everything in order for man, as we can see through these scriptures. He is doing that now in his church. God tells us about what will happen when he intervenes in the lives of men. And in verse 20, in that day, men will cast forth their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, just like we have been discussing about what man's God is, about what man worships. The sports, the physical things that man can possess, the automobiles, the computers, the cell phones, the abundance of the material things that he can heap to himself. And that becomes man's God. And that becomes his focus. But God tells us about a time when man's focus will change. God says that man will cast forth their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats. The focus of man's mind will change. The mind of man will begin to change at the return of God's Son back to this earth. God says terror is coming, and man will have another focus. Fear is coming for man to get his attention. God says that they will seek, verse 21, to enter the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs from before the terror of the eternal and from the glory of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. So what this is saying, that God is going to intervene in the affairs of this world in a mighty and powerful way. We know man will resist. We know the scriptures of what will take place as God sends his Son back to this earth, about man turning and fighting against the return of God's Son. And you have a front row seat to see the most awesome events take place upon this earth. This world has been left to its own ways, but it's coming to an end in just a short while. It's been left to its own governments, its own way of doing business. And we can see just how sick that government is, all of the governments of this earth. And I am sick of seeing the division and the sickness of man's government. We know that man cannot rule himself, and man's government is a prime example, brother. God lets us know that a just government is coming. A change of government is coming. So change is coming to man. God has made that manifested to you and me, his church. Man's government is coming to an end. And I look so forward to this day when the kingdom of God is set up upon this earth and man's government is no more. So we understand what this is talking about the kingdom of God being set up upon this earth with a just government being established. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1 and let's look in at an account. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days. And let's notice what he was teaching. Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And this will be done again with the ones that are resurrected at the return of Jesus Christ. And then they will descend upon the Mount of Olives with those that are living that are to be changed. The purpose of the resurrection at that time is to prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth on the day of Pentecost. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 1. And let's see what Daniel wrote about a long time ago. Daniel lived 600 years before Jesus Christ. Daniel knew about the kingdom of God. Daniel knew that a government was coming to this earth, God's government. Daniel knew that God's kingdom would be set up upon this earth. Daniel chapter 1 in verse 4 we find Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken into captivity. And most of us know the story of how they were taken into captivity. These four young men were teenagers. And they were placed in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was training them for responsibilities in the Babylonian government. And let's notice what the king saw in those young men. The king recognized that they had knowledge. And let's notice that the king saw that they also had something else. They had wisdom. And down in verse 17, we find that wisdom was given to them by God. That's where it came from. The great God of this universe is where that wisdom came from. And in the last part, we find that Daniel had been given understanding in visions and dreams. Nebuchadnezzar was the very first ruler upon this earth. And the king had a dream that troubled him. And in Daniel 2 in verse 1, we find that that dream was so upsetting and it was so disturbing that he demanded that the astrologers, the sorcerers of that day, that they tell him what the dream was about. In verse 10, we find that the king was told that no man upon this earth could tell him the meaning of that dream. And in verse 13, we see how serious this really became, because the king was so upset that he was going to kill all of them, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they were about to die if God did not intervene. And we know that story. We find that God, verse 19, revealed the secret to Daniel. And let's notice verse 21, the last part. God removes kings and raises up kings. God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. That's where it comes from. Wisdom comes from God. God reveals deep and secret things, and it's why you know what you know today. Because the God of this universe has opened your mind to see His plan, the plan for mankind. Daniel 2 and verse 28. Daniel was brought before the king. And let's notice what Daniel told the king. He told him that there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's notice what is being said. What will be in the latter days? So we see that it was God's purpose to reveal to this king that there is a God in heaven and that God is the supreme ruler of this universe, of everything. God is in charge. And He is in charge today, brethren. God allows the rulers of this day. He allows it. And as was revealed in Daniel's prayer, it was God who allowed Nebuchadnezzar to rule. Nebuchadnezzar did not know anything about the true God. Just like those that came together in the last week, they know nothing about the true God. They know nothing about the true Jesus Christ. Just like Nebuchadnezzar did not know God. We know that God is supreme ruler. We know that He is the Almighty God who rules everything, the entire universe. And we know that He is still a creating God. And He is still creating. The whole purpose of the dream to Daniel was to reveal the truth about God's government that was coming to this earth and what was to happen in the latter time, the latter days. A change of government will take place, brethren. That's what it's about this day. A change of government will take place on this day. God is going to take charge of all the governments of this earth, all of them. Daniel 2 and verse 31. We find that this image was so unsettling that the king could not sleep. And he wanted to know what the meaning was. In verse 32, we find his head was of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, and the belly and thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet a mixture of iron and clay. So we can see there's a time frame through these scriptures because we know the understanding of what this statue tells you and me. It paints us a picture down through time. Nebuchadnezzar saw the statue and the stone came out of heaven and smashed the statue upon its feet and the statue broke into small pieces and was actually blown away by the wind. So in other words, it disappeared. Then the stone became a great mountain, and it became so great that it filled the whole earth. Daniel 2 and verse 36, this is the dream. Daniel said, "We will tell the interpretation to the king." So this is God's interpretation through Daniel. That's how God was working in his day. God still works through man, brother. Works through an apostle at this end time. Just like God worked through Daniel. And it was through Daniel that God revealed the dream and the meaning to Daniel. "You, O king, are a king of kings." And let's notice, "For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory." So God allowed him to be the king. Let's notice what's being said. So God was revealing himself to the king and letting him know that he, God, was the one that allowed him to be the king. So people today, just like this king, they don't look as God as a ruler. They don't look as God as a king. They think that they have charge of their own lives. They think that they can control. But the eternal God of this universe was revealing himself through Daniel to the king. And we read in the Proverbs a little bit about God. He showed us just a glimpse of himself in the Proverbs. And now, this same God was revealing himself through Daniel to the king. So God is telling us much more about himself, of who he is. And through this book, God's book, you and me, know God as a powerful God, the great God of this universe, the one that is sending Jesus Christ back to this earth to become King of Kings upon this earth. And great change will come about to mankind. And I cannot wait until this change takes place on this earth. And then man will be taught the way to peace, the way to live life. That's the change that I want to see. Verse 38, let's look at the last part of what God told through Daniel. He said, "You are this head of gold, and after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass which shall rule over all the earth." So let's pay attention to what it's speaking about. It's talking about kingdoms that will rule upon this earth. So it's talking about government. There's no misunderstanding by what is written by the word kingdom. There's no misunderstanding of what God revealed to Daniel, the interpretation. God gives his interpretations through Daniel. And this great image represented governments. That's what it did. And it represented a succession of governments down through time. World governments that would appear upon this earth through time. First was this head of gold that represented Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the Chaldean Empire. And in time there was to come another kingdom, a second, a third, that would bear rule over this earth. And in verse 40, we find the legs of iron represent a fourth kingdom, world empire. And it was to be strong, even as iron is strong. And we know that that was the Roman Empire. And in verse 44, let's notice God's explanation of what the kingdom of God is. "And in those days of those kings," so it's talking about the 10 toes, part of iron, part of brittle clay. We understand it's talking about what will take place in Europe, what Mr. Armstrong taught about for so many, many years. You and me can see it going together. We can see it's in place. Hold your place here and let's turn over to Revelation chapter 17 and let's look at verse 12 quickly. Revelation 17 and verse 12. So we can have a little more understanding about those 10 kings. And let's notice how it's said. Revelation 17 and verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority. Let's notice. For 1 hour, just a short space of time, brethren, as kings with the beast. So it's not long in time that it is allowed to exist, because it won't take long to do what they will do. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war. Let's notice who that war is with. With the Lamb, which we know is Jesus Christ. And the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will overcome them. So let's notice what is being said. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And let's notice who is with Jesus Christ. It tells us who is there. Those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now let's go back to Daniel 2 and verse 44. I should have told you to hold your place. But this will make plain that there will be a union at the end of an age that will come together for a very short time. Just a short space in time. And in the days of those kings, ever how it comes together at the end, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And it will break in pieces. Let's notice. And consume all these kingdoms. And it will stand forever. Will be one government upon this earth, brother. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. The kingdom of God. And that is what Daniel wrote about so long ago. When Jesus comes, He is coming of King of kings and Lord of lords, ruling the whole earth in His kingdom. Just like Daniel said, is to consume all the governments of this world. All of them, brethren. Revelation 11 and verse 15. We know about the first part of Revelation 11 where it tells us about those two that He will send at the end of an age. One that is an apostle at the end time. So Revelation 11 and verse 15, we find that the kingdoms, the governments of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He will reign forever and ever. Change is coming for man. God's church is being prepared for this very change that is coming. A change of government. It's the end of world governments that you and me know. They will become the kingdoms of the great God of this universe and His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He will be the King of kings of this earth. The seventh trumpet consists of those seven last plagues. And you can read about those plagues on your own. The purpose of those plagues is to destroy those that will be destroying this earth. Destruction will come upon those people and nations that are engaged in destroying the earth. And as I said earlier, fear, real fear, is coming for man. Just as in the days of Noah. I don't think there was any fear as Noah was building that ark. But I can assure you that when the water got up to their neck, there was fear. So real fear will be here at the very end for man when real destruction begins to take place. Those plagues are going to be poured out. It's written in God's book. And they are for a purpose, those plagues. The main reason will be to stop World War III. To destroy those that will be destroying this earth. Because if Jesus Christ did not return, nothing would be left. Poof, we would all be a puff of smoke. When Jesus Christ returns, this world, some will be made ready to listen to God. God says that man will be humbled. In those 50 days of plagues, we understand that they are from the period of the wave sheaf all the way up to the time of Pentecost to this day that we are here celebrating. Man will be humble. It's what God says. The day of Pentecost is when Jesus Christ will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives with a new government upon this earth. I want to quote some of what Ron has written about the return of Jesus Christ and how it will be manifested to man. So part of this will be quotes from what is written. And it says, on the day that Jesus Christ begins to return to this earth, he will become manifested above the atmosphere of this earth. And after this, God will then begin a process of pouring out those plagues. Rather than pouring out all of them in a single day, God will now do so throughout the period of 50 days. 50 literal days. And just before these physical plagues begin to be poured out, the 144,000 will be resurrected. This event of Jesus Christ appearing in the atmosphere above the earth begins in the midst of God's holy days during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is on the same day when the offering of the wave sheaf would have been performed yearly at the temple, just like we read about in Leviticus 23. And this ties together both the wave sheaf offering during unleavened bread and the offering of the wave loaves on the day of Pentecost. Just like we read about earlier, the offering of that wave sheaf that represented Jesus Christ is the first of the first fruits. And the offering of the wave loaves, those two loaves, on Pentecost, and it represents the rest of the first fruits, the 144,000. Jesus Christ was the first of those first fruits, and the 144,000 is the rest. Although these are resurrected on the day of the wave sheaf, they will not stand on earth until 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost with Jesus Christ. The plagues will be poured out during those 50 days. God says man will be humbled. And you have a front row seat to see the most awesome events that will ever take place upon the face of this earth, brethren. As Jesus Christ returns to this earth and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives with a just government now for mankind that will lead man to the way of peace. On this day that Jesus Christ returns in the atmosphere above the earth, there will be some awesome sights as a resurrection begins to take place. And we know what 1 Thessalonians says about this resurrection. And if you want to take a look, you can turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. And verse 15 tells us that for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So God is going to physically manifest some of this event that is taking place. The dead in Christ are resurrected first. This event that takes place in the sky will cause much fear. Much fear is coming to man. We know the scriptures about their bowels being loosed, being in travail. We know those scriptures. Man being in travail as they see this display in the sky. So there will be fear. There will be panic for man as this day takes place. The physical manifestation will appear as a sea of glass that is mingled with fire. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 15 and let's look at verse 1. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. And we'll begin to finish up. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who held the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Some will believe it's an alien invasion from outer space. Others will believe that it's an invasion about the Antichrist. That's what the world has mostly been taught, that there is an Antichrist coming. We live at the end of an age when the most awesome events will ever take place upon the face of this earth. You live at that time. God says there will never be another time like this. Never again. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 24 tells us that the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn as they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. The clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, to rule all nations with a rod of iron, brethren. That was Jesus Christ's very message. And it was about the kingdom of God that would come to this earth. God is sending Jesus Christ to come and save mankind. Coming to stop the wars, the nuclear genocide that would take place. Mr. Armstrong used to say so many times, except a strong hand from someplace intervene, mankind would destroy himself. And Jesus Christ is that strong hand from someplace. And now real change can begin to take place for man. Man can now be taught about true change that will begin to bring about real peace. And it will be a different world. God tells us through the book of Daniel, who was shown a long time ago, that God would intervene in the affairs of man. And the days of man swayed by Satan will come to an end. Satan will be restrained and put away in his prison for 1,000 years. God will send his Son to mankind and teach mankind the correct way to live. When Jesus Christ comes, it will begin a new process for man, a new way of life for man. We, the Church of God, understand this change that will take place for man. We live it now. We know the way. Change will make for a better world, brother. It will bring about peace forever.